Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. It's going to take you into 2018. How does that sound? We're not going to be talking about political stuff per se. So let's do a shift. So many of us have been under such pressure and agitation due to all of the political rhetoric that we've been listening to for so many months. Well, we're going to go into the world of imagination and fact with a gentleman who is in England at this time. His name is Patrick Patrick Robinson. And I'll tell you, he has written a book that will just keep you absolutely mesmerized and almost mentally gripping your seat from beginning to end. It's a story about the Navy SEALs. And Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hello, John. Thank you very much. I'm very glad to chat to you.
Well, Patrick, you had written a previous book, and it was Lone Survivor, and that ended up being a bestseller. And I can remember chatting with you, I think it was one day last year, and when I was talking with you, I was just fascinated with all of the detail that you have regarding the Navy SEALs, military in action, all of these variables that you present in your book. For those that are not familiar with you, Patrick, tell us why it is that this has ended up being a theme that you have put to work in books. And do you have to have this all checked out before the book is even published by the SEAL?
Well, I my main Navy SEAL book was the one that I wrote for Marcus Luttrell, Lone Survivor, which sat on top of the New York Times bestseller list for 8.5 months. And the large paperback edition was still on the bestseller list after 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus spent a lot of time living at our house on the Cape during that summer that we wrote it. So I really got to know a lot about him, and I met his brother, and there were other Special Forces men that I met. And I really kind of know about Navy SEALs and what they do, and I kind of transformed it to a SEAL commander who is my main character in this series of books I'm doing at the moment. And the one we're talking about today, the fourth one, which is called Power Play, has that SEAL commander right at its heart. And I always start them with what I consider to be tomorrow's headlines. And I don't mean I start the actual book. I start the actual plot with something from tomorrow's headlines. And the thing that is obviously tomorrow's headline is when Israel attacks Iran's nuclear facilities. I mean, that is what will happen. They don't mind Iran kind of declaring war on them and threatening to wipe them out, but they are not going to let Iran have an atom bomb. They're not going to let that happen. And I bet you saw a week and a half ago that it's a kind of an armaments factory in Khartoum in Sudan, but they make shell casings and hardware, missile casings, bomb casings. They haven't got the detailed kit that goes inside it. These are the outer casings, and they're made there, and they're shipped on up to Iran. And I expect you saw that Israel wiped that factory off the face of the earth 10 days ago. They came in from the northeast with an armada of bombers and bombs, and they just obliterated it. There are now six craters, is all that is left. A few Denise complaining that four people were killed. And anyone who knows the brutality of the Israeli Air Force when they need to could think themselves pretty lucky they weren't 400 killed. But they will, in fact, take out that that atomic capability of Iran sometime in the not-too-distant future. I mean, that is definite. And I started from there. I tried to work out who would be the most angry. And the most angry at that happening would be Russia. Mm-hmm. Because they sell a very, very expensive missile shield to all of the countries with whom they are friendly. One of whom, of course, is Iran. And these countries do not expect an Israeli fighting force to go through it like through butter and do what it likes. But that is what will happen, because the Israelis are already training. They're above Crete, which is the exact same mileage as Iran. And they are doing it with lasers and making sure their aircraft can get home. So I started my story from that has already happened, and I began my story with what Russia would actually do about it as they sit seething in the Moscow winter and wondering who to, knowing who to blame. That's the United States. They provide all of Israel's hardware, and what they would do about it. And that's where I began the plot for this book, Power Play. What they would do about it. And the one thing we know they might do about it, war has changed in the last 12 years. No one's going to knock down a town and kill civilians. Television and the media put a stop to that. You can't do that. You can't just wipe places out. So you have to use a targeted strike. I mean, a SEAL team is a targeted strike. I mean, when they wanted to get rid of Osama bin Laden, they didn't knock down the town. They just charged in and blew his brains out in his own house, which is how it works these days. So,
Patrick, one of the things that I wanted to bring out were a couple of comments that you had in your book, which I found extremely interesting. One, you talk about the Mossad and the CIA field agents working so closely together, you can't tell them apart, or at least it's not easy to do that. And you bring out a comment, and especially after what has just happened in a recent election and the commentaries that are being brought forth, a statement of devious 21st century games of protecting the people from the ignorance of politicians. And I thought that was a very powerful statement. And then you
that is what you have to try to do. And this applies actually more to Russia than it does to America. The Russians as a race are spectacularly neurotic. They feel that God dealt them a very, very unfortunate hand. They have this shocking weather. They have a pretty large population. Ice, snow, difficulty in agriculture, often, you know, close to the breadline with growing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting diabolical wars. Things like the Battle of Stalingrad, millions of people killed and having to defeat Hitler and losing millions more. They just feel that they were dealt the toughest hand on earth. And they it makes them do really crazy things, like try to upset the United States, which is the silliest thing they could do, because America's a very big customer of Russia for oil and gas. And now that they're rich, it would be very tricky for the West if they got a politician neurotic, more neurotic than Putin, someone, you know, more like Stalin,
mm-hmm.
Who feels that Russia should be sitting at the top table and that they believe that America was dealt this easiest of lives, whereas they struggled decade after decade through monstrous, opposition. And if you ever did get a neurotic president of Russia, he may very well try the modern way of a targeted strike against something in America.
Mm-hmm.
And when a nation does that, it's pretty difficult to find out who's done it. Because it didn't launch it from Russia, so America wouldn't see it coming. Well, they might see it coming, but it wouldn't be coming from there.
Now, Patrick, you bring out a number of comments which are very relevant today. And it's like the old war dogs are still alive and wagging their tails. You bring out a comment that Russia has given help in developing North Korea's newest missile, modeled on a standard Russian SSN-6 submarine launch technology. And you have your different comments about the military, the weaponry. How in the world do you keep up with all of this? Because so much technical information is put in your book. And again, I ask the question, did you have to submit your material to the SEALs for approval before it was published?
No, I don't do that. So I wouldn't do that for a novel. I did do it with Marcus Luttrell's book, but that was really because President Bush had given permission for the book to be written, and I didn't think it would be a particularly good idea to upset them all, especially as they'd asked me to write it. So I did submit that to the SEALs, to two SpecWarCom admirals. I submitted that to them, and they didn't actually change a word of it. But I wouldn't bother to submit a novel to them because they're not worried about novels. I have two or three people I stay in touch with who are watching this stuff at all times. I mean, I was immediately told when the Russians moved one of those big Typhoon ballistic missile submarines. They'd been pretty well in dock, Donna, for about 15 years. They're very expensive to move, but Russia's different now. Russia's rich.
Mm-hmm.
And, this oil in the West Siberian Basin is making them rich, and they are doing everything they can to rebuild that navy. And, they've got submarines coming out of harbors and patrolling the seas. And everyone realizes that, they're building their first aircraft carrier. I don't know if you knew, but they never really had an aircraft carrier, which is kind of a mobile airfield. They never bothered with it, but they are now. They're building a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building a couple of very, very big destroyers. And they're getting that submarine fleet out again. And it was not out for many years. We need to be very careful. We don't drop our guard.
That's something you bring up about Britain, because you're projecting into 2018 and that the nation, the country itself, is just no longer effective with its own navy, that a lot of its own defense systems they have demobilized. And you bring up the SOSIS, I'll call it. It's a sound surveillance system. And I had never heard of this. The
been there a while,
long-range detection
reason,
network.
The reason you haven't heard of it is because nobody talks about it.
Uh-huh.
But it is there. And where it is particularly is in the Gyok Gap, which is the Greenland-Iceland-UK choke point, the narrowest part of the North Atlantic. And the Russian, I expect, the most important part of their fleet is their northern base. And that, because they have that big nuclear facility for putting nuclear kit into main submarines. That's in the White Sea. And right around the corner is their big submarine base at Murmansk. Now, that's pretty far north. It's right up by the Arctic Circle. And to get any one of those ships out into the other part of the world, our part, they have to go all the way around the coast of Norway and through the Gyok Gap. That's where America's listening devices are. That's their intelligence steel trap. If a Russian submarine goes over that grid, we don't know exactly where he is, but we know the square he's in. We know the 10-mile by 10-mile square. We know he's in there. And, the Americans, and the Royal Navy have always wanted to know precisely what they thought they were doing with a nuclear boat in that square. They want to know about that. But because the Royal Navy has suffered many, many cuts for such a long time in their budget, they don't have the ships to help anymore. And the big listening station in North Cornwall is shut. The one in Pembrokeshire on the South Wales coast is also shut. The one in Northern Ireland has been turned into a housing estate. The one at Machanish in Scotland is not working. The Americans have basically lost their right arm in the northeast part of the Atlantic, and they need that right arm. They're, you know, Scotland, who are trying to be independent, are threatening to cut down the Faslane, cut out the Faslane base, which is the British submarine base, where America has always got friends, but they're threatening to shut it. And the Americans, I'm taking the view that, you know, there's two or three admirals that I speak to, and I know what I'd do if I were in the Pentagon. I would want an American base in the northeastern part of the Atlantic. It's just basic sense to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, mm-hmm. the place to go, I haven't asked there about this, by the way, I made this part up. The place to go is Ireland, which has a 250-mile-long, craggy, deep-water, west-facing coastline, ideal to help with SOSUS to know when anyone's in those squares. And I think that would be an ideal spot to put it. And Ireland is America's best friend, not always stated, but Ireland would do anything for America. Half the population of America is related to an Irish family background.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
in my
true.
View, if the Americans asked anything from Ireland, especially something like a base which would pile money into the Irish economy, they would say yes. And my whole scheme was that if America is going to stop Russia making any kind of attack on them, they would be very, very well advised to have a really good base in Ireland, which enabled them to have a watchdog right across that North Atlantic area.
You bring out information that has been put out in media and conversations I know I've heard from people regarding cyber warfare, which is really big stuff today. And the Chinese and Russians hacking into the Pentagon, Boeing, Mitsubishi, and other military installations in the past. And this is something, there is a cyber warfare going on all the time. But you had one sentence in here that I thought was very significant, because it is an old, old statement, but you are using what I would say are modern words. To dismantle your enemy, you must dismantle his intelligence, communications, and forward planning. I think anybody that has had a little bit of study of history, whether it's with Alexander the Great, or you know, you go back even, you know, you can talk about Attila the Hun, you can talk about World War I, II, always that is something that has been very, very significant.
Yeah, you've got to break his communication. You've got to stop those
right.
lines of communication.
And so you have these, I call them nuggets of reality, that really are peppered throughout this story. And the power play, your title is so appropriate, because it is exactly that. It is like a chess game. The players are, some of the players are hoping that they can get away with what they're doing. They have some of the most brilliant minds on the planet that are working for them, both sides. And I just think your plot is absolutely so gripping because of the utilization of the most recent technology, and yet you projected forth to 2018. Why did you choose 2018?
Well, you're very kind to me, Donna. It's very kind of you to say all that. But, well, I thought, you know, by the time the book comes out, it's next year, and I very often do a novel about 5 years in advance. And if a Russian president was angry enough with the United States, I mean, this is the kind of thing that people do nowadays, people plan to do. I mean, look at Khartoum. Israel wanted to hit at Iran, and they just made a controlled strike on one thing. They weren't knocking out towns or anything. They only killed four people, which in the scale of this world is, you know, is a very small thing to do. And if Russia wanted to get at America, they wouldn't wipe out a big town. They'd do something like I'm suggesting. They'd take out a major building, a hub of intelligence, and just knock it out. They might kill the people in it, but it wouldn't be the kind of outrage it would be if they dropped a bomb on New York or something. And that's the modern way of thinking. I mean, when somebody wants to do something, even 12 years ago, I mean, when President Bush hit back at Al-Qaeda, he used a carpet bomb big enough to flatten Boston, and he dropped seven of them on the mountains of Tora Bora in one morning. I mean, he rearranged the look of the globe. But you wouldn't kind of do that anymore. You use drones, you use targets, and that's what Russia would do if Russia was going to have a stab at America or something, if they felt they'd been humiliated. And that's what I plotted and planned, and then tried. And what they would do would definitely try to cut the lines of communication. That's what they were going to. This is what they were doing. Try and stop America speaking. I mean, the National Security Agency has one thing that it really wants to do. It wants to hoover up every secret message in the entire world while not letting one of its own messages ever be heard by anybody. I mean, that's its plan. That's the kind of thing Russia would go for. Only one building. They wouldn't kind of take out the whole of Maryland or anything, or, you know, with a big nuclear bomb or an atom bomb. Mm-hmm. They would take out one building.
Right, and that they have that capability with the technology today.
They're close. Yes. They might not be able to quite do it. The trouble is, Donald, they couldn't launch from Russia because the Americans have got a shield that would see that in about 20 seconds. If something was coming towards the United States, it wouldn't take them long to find that out. They'd launch it from somewhere really odd, you know, something like the jungle in Bolivia or somewhere, or Central America. But you've got the distance problem. And if you want a rocket that is going to knock out with a nuclear warhead, it's going to knock out one building, you've got to have a lot of gas in it. It's got to go 2,000 miles, and they haven't really done that yet. You could use an intercontinental ballistic missile, a huge one, but that will probably go 6,000 miles. But it goes, you know, but it's such a gigantic thing, the Americans would see it. You need something small, fast, and low, coming over the water. It's all a bit scary, really, don't you think?
Well, I think so. Yet at the same time, when you're telling the story, there's just the factor that intelligence doesn't belong to just one people. And smart minds working together, they have to be on alert, and they have to be able to do different things. And I look back just into the old history books at how things were resolved by people that thought outside the box, used the tools that they had, expanded the capabilities of being able to defend. And that's an ongoing challenge. And I was intrigued with your information. You talked about nuclear football, which you've mentioned just in a brief description. But I was not aware that a submarine was not in constant touch with its base, wherever it may be in the world. It communicates by means of a satellite signal. If somebody blew up a satellite out in the universe, wherever it's flying around, then they're going to be in a pickle because they're not going to be able to communicate.
A submarine is essentially blind. It can't see where it's going, and it has to utilize its sonar system to find out if there's anything in front of it, which, of course, there usually isn't. If you look up at the ceiling of the room you're in, come down 6 inches and imagine a matchstick up there. That's what a submarine is like in the ocean. It's not likely to hit anything. Oceans of deep places. But it can't talk all the time while it's going through the water. And the only time it can talk is when it it does it once a day. They nearly always do it every 24 hours. It's, a Russian or a United States submarine will probably come up at about 2 o'clock in the morning and access the satellite. It will just shout up and say, "Oi, here I am. Got any messages?" And the satellite would come back and say, "No, nothing much." He'd say, "Fine, this is our projected course and our speed and where we are. And if you haven't got anything, thank you and good night," and go straight back under the water again. It does that every 24 hours. So it is quite odd, because if, then an hour later, someone saw that submarine, it would be at least 24 hours before they knew it was missing. They wouldn't know it was missing. They'd know it was late. They might have had a problem. It'd probably be another 24 hours before they thought, "My God, where is it?" By which time, it could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rather puzzling. So if you're going to sink a submarine, your chances of being caught are absolutely zero.
Well, you talk about the shadowy group of 3 million Russians living in the United States known as the Soviet Sleepers. This is something that relates to the Cold War, but things are still going on today. You talk about how the Chinese are so skilled in cyber warfare. You talk about various aspects of history, the SEAL team, the regimen that the SEALs go through, which is just incredible, the training, all of that. You go into North Korea and also Ireland. But the twist in your story, and I am not going to give it away, is just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I thought, who would even think along these lines? And you definitely stepped out of the box with it. And I know we're just about out of time, Patrick. Where can people go to find out more about you, your writing, your research, and all of this? Do you have a website, Patrick?
Yeah, they can get me at patrickrobinson.com. Shows you all the books I've written and what I've done and what people say and all of the rest of it. Before I go, I'll just tell you what I'm doing at the moment, which will, I'm sure, interest you. Do you remember those Navy SEALs who were court-martialed after they caught that very dangerous terrorist?
Yes.
And there were, 300,000 people in a petition, Congress petition, the Navy, everyone to stop the court-martial? And they were entirely innocent. The terrorists said they'd beaten him up. All terrorists say they've been beaten up. And they had caught him. The Butcher of Fallujah, the man who strung the burnt bodies of the Americans on the bridge. And these SEALs caught him and brought him in. And he said he'd been beaten up, and they court-martialed these SEALs. They practically ruined their lives. And two of them, of the three, have left. And I am writing their story about what happened to them.
Oh, my goodness. You'll have to send it to me when it's done.
I will. It'll be coming out next year. It is called... it's called Until Proven Innocent, because the service treated them as if they were guilty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are coming out.
The subtitle is The Untold Story of the Most Notorious Court-Martial in the History of the United States Navy.
Mm-hmm, and that it's politics. So much of it is politics.
It's being politically correct. They didn't want. They wanted everyone to know how fair they were, which was all very well, unless you were one of the three SEALs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and then
Patrick,
it probably wasn't so good, right?
This is just an incredible book, Power Play, and I think that it gives a real insight into not just the world of international politics, but also in the reality. It's like a quote out of the Old Testament, "Watchman, what of the night?" that I think speaks loudly. Peace is never gained by being inattentive. You must be alert. And there is that reality.
You don't drop your guard these days.
Mm-hmm. And the Chinese are building their military, and Korea's been working on that, and they are supporters as well as Russia.
Oh, yeah, the Chinese are building their first blue water navy for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've always hung around in their own waters for all this time. You know, they felt they didn't need to expand, but they built this navy base in Burma in the Indian Ocean, bought two whacking great destroyers from the Russians. They've also bought a half-finished carrier that they're planning to get through with, and they're trying to build another nuclear submarine. They haven't been very good at that. The Americans always say they're so noisy, there's no point in them going under the water.
My goodness. Well, Patrick, you are just such a fascinating man to speak with. I'm so delighted that you're writing, because I think in many ways, through your novels as well as your nonfiction publications, you are helping to chase away a lot of the illusions that sometimes are promoted. Thank you for being my guest today, and enjoy your time in England.
Donna, thank you very much indeed for having me. I'll tell you about my seals when I finish it.
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Thanks again, Patrick. Check out his website, patrickrobinson.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We will be back after just a couple of messages. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, and you're more than welcome to give me a buzz. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, or you can chat about something else if you like. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, next week we have got a fascinating arrangement of guests. We're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Tulenko. We're going to be talking about insourcing. So frequently in the news, we talk about companies that have outsourced and taken jobs away from America. Well, Kate is of a different mindset. She wants to create jobs in America, and believe it or not, it's in the medical industry, and she's going to have some fascinating things to share with us. People before profit. I'm so delighted that I am going to be able to talk with a man that founded the company Bob's Red Mill. This is a man whose company was literally destroyed by an arsonist, and he and his employees dug in, built back up, and now his food products, which you'll see in your store, it's Bob's Red Mill. They're always in the health food section, the gluten-free, grains, all kinds of things that you can get. This man is amazing. The book is People Before Profit, so we're going to be talking with him directly. What drug companies won't tell you and what doctors can't powerful material. Dr. Michael Murray is going to be my guest next week. Eco-literate Lisa Bennett. She was ill last month, so we rescheduled her for this month. We're going to be hearing stories about teachers and kids who are coming up with some wonderful ideas about helping the environment to become healthier. And then Pendulum, Michael Drew. This is a fascinating book about how what has gone on in the past actually contributes to the direction of action and planning that evolves for the future. Intriguing material, fascinating topics. I know that you will enjoy it. Be sure and tell your friends, because we have so many unique people on the Donna Sebo Show. That's one of my joys about doing this program, is having a diversified level of material, because it really does expand our paradigms. At least it does mine. And I like to think by sharing conversation with you, the listening audience, then you're going to have some thoughts that maybe you would never have considered before, which is always a good thing. And by the way, if you'd like to get my newsletter, well, all you have to do is send me an email. We're having problems with one of our emails, so send it to donnasebo@comcast.net. That's another email that you can use. But just go ahead and let me know, and then you'll get a free copy of the newsletter every single month with all the listing of information and guests that are coming, etc. Food. We're all interested in it. We have to have it. Without it, we're not going to make it in this life experience. However, many things in nature can be very toxic. And I came across this material, and I said, this is really intriguing. Now, I'm sure you've all heard at one time or another, you never eat apple seeds. Why? Well, apple pips, that's what they're commonly called in the agricultural industry, they contain cyanide, but amounts that are in just one apple batch of seeds isn't going to hurt you. But you shouldn't ever just save all the apple seeds and eat them like you would sunflower seeds, because you actually could be killed by them, because the cyanide, though it's in microscopic doses in each of the seeds, an abundance of them, they will kill you because cyanide is there. Also, and I'm sure you're aware of this when it comes to food, the puffer fish. This fish causes I don't know how many deaths in Japan every year. And if it's not prepared correctly, it will kill you. So there are special chefs trained in the preparation of the puffer fish. And the reason that it's so dangerous is that the puffer fish has just enough of a poisonous tetrodotoxin to give a sort of a tingle to someone. It gives this kind of a physical feeling, and it's usually served as sashimi, and the toxin is mainly in the organs of the fish. There's some in the flesh, but it's primarily in the organs. So these are two items that we have always, always heard about. But some of the other things that we all, just about all of us, have in our pantry, raw nutmeg. I use nutmeg in so many dishes. It's wonderful. It's especially the little nutmeg pod itself, and you grate that finely. Oh, the fragrance is awesome. And the flavor that it gives to custards and to different dishes is just delicious. Well, you can get hallucinations from it. Who knew? That little nutmeg pod can cause a problem. When you eat pure nutmeg, you can get it. Large doses of raw nutmeg will send someone's nervous system into overdrive and actually can kill you. Who knew? The lowly little nutmeg pod. Well, I guess there's all these people out there that someone's going to do something that's going to cause that problem. A root vegetable very famous in Africa and South America, the cassava, that is a primary food source. It really, really is a very significant food. Well, those people learned the hard way that they had to prepare it in a special way. It's a primary carbohydrate supply for many people in Africa and South America. But there's cyanide in it. Cyanide is in the root, which causes it to be poisonous. So they have to go through a very special process to be able to eat the food so that it is no longer toxic. And you know what? Tomatoes. Now, we all eat tomatoes. I love tomatoes. But if you were to eat any of the leaves, the stems, and actually even unripened tomatoes, it contains toxins. Slices on a sandwich, no problem. But who's going to eat the leaves of a tomato plant? And the stems? I don't know of anybody that does it. Well, somewhere along the line, we learned, and in Europe for many generations, it was considered poisonous. People were not going to eat it. Well, if you stop and think about it, at some point, you know, when you are living off, quote-unquote, the land, and this is the food from the Americas, when you take it into Europe and you go and you cook so many foods where you use the leaves or you use the roots, it was toxic. So they just said, no, we won't eat tomatoes. Well, the fruit, the tomato itself is just wonderful. But the other stuff you have to throw away. You have to let it go. It's not any good. And then Swiss cheese. This one surprised me. This is a very rare occurrence, but Swiss cheese can be high in histamine. Now, what is that caused by? Bacteria. That's why you get this wonderful Swiss cheese flavor. Some people get rashes and nausea from the bacteria, the fermentation process that creates these wonderful cheese flavors. Think of blue cheese, and there's so many other cheeses that this happens. Bacteria is what creates this wonderful, delicious, special flavor. And I understand, and I've never had the chance to be in Holland or in Switzerland or in those areas where dairy is really consumed in very large amounts, and they have just developed all of these different cheeses. They're just phenomenal. I guess I forget how many types of Swiss cheese they have. And they all have their own significant taste, and it's because of how they are aged. So just be aware if that is something that you have to be alert to. If you're highly sensitive to certain things of that nature, that could be how simple it is. It could be some of the dairy, some of the cheese that you might be eating. And then the Indian pea. This is a legume that is grown in Europe, Asia, and Africa. And it is absolutely a wonderful food source, according to many, especially if you're going through a drought. This is something good to eat. However, what they have learned, because people were getting sick because of the amount that they were eating, it contains a nasty neurotoxin, and if you eat it all the time over a long period, it will cause paralysis and actual brain damage. Everything in life is chemistry. Everything in life is chemistry. So it's the understanding of that chemistry. And this is a situation where too much of a good thing is actually too much of a good thing. Just a little bit of trivia there for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's right. That's the telephone number that you can call into, and I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Diabetes, we hear so much about this, and I have had guests on my show talking about diabetes and actual physicians that say you can reverse this by understanding the chemistry of your body, how it works, changing your food patternings, and exercising, and you can literally turn it away. And this is not really something new. There was a French doctor, I believe it was during the Revolution, that noticed so many of his patients that had been diabetic, the diabetes started to abate when they no longer had access to white flour and abundance of sugars, because the refined bread was the mainstay of many people's diet, especially in the cities. And that's when he began to correlate food with the diabetic patterning. So this is something that is beginning to become mainstream. And they say you need to eat as many different kinds of fruits and vegetables as possible. When you have like 12 different types of fruits and vegetables, regardless of the quantity, when you have the variety, it helps the body's processing system to work more efficiently and effectively. Also, the value of exercise. And you don't have to go out and run marathons, but getting away from the processed foods, having more of real foods, if you will, along with exercising, the body starts to make its adjustments and get back into place. And they found that adults, kids, are able to metabolize whatever sugars are put into the body. And it almost didn't make any difference if they lost weight or not. They just moved. And I know we have a friend, Ruth, who was a very serious diabetic. And she tried all kinds of diets and nothing was working. Well, after one of the interviews with a doctor on the air and she got the material, she said, "My goodness, I now don't have to take diabetic medicine." And little by little, she made changes. She didn't try to change everything overnight, but she found her liver worked better, her kidneys. She has dropped like 60 pounds, and it has been over a two-year period. It's been very gradual for her, and she's looking wonderful. She is doing so much better in her overall life. She said, "I've gone from a size 23 or whatever it was down to an 18 now." And she said, "I'm thrilled." Because for years she tried to do the severe diet. This is a woman that lived on 600 calories a day. That's beyond me. But that's what she did. So little by little, she cut certain things out. And one of her biggest things that she cut out was wheat. And that really caused a big change with her. And anything that was processed, she took just little steps at a time. She's now got everything under control. Her doctor said, "I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep it up." And finally, she had a talk with her doctor about what she was doing. He said, "It's that simple?" She said, "It's that simple." So it's amazing. We can pass the information on. Also, something that's very important is that you get a good night's rest. How many times do we push ourselves? We are known for this in the United States. we've got this idea, oh, we don't need sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, your body chemistry processing system does wacky things. It really, really does. And when you get a good night's sleep, even if you need to take a nap during the day, heck, the Italians have known this for thousands of years. Take a nap sometimes, and you're going to be invigorated. Sometimes you just need to maybe go in, do some meditation someplace where it's quiet. I know one gal, the only place she could get to with her family is the bathroom. She locks the door, hangs a sign on the door. Do not disturb. Nobody bothers her. And by golly, that's when she has her quiet. She even does her meditation. It sounds a little silly, but that's what she does. And it works. So take care of yourself. You know, you don't have to be sick. And I think when we're more proactive in our own wellness, it makes a great deal of difference. I wanted to share a story with you about a man that Chuck Swindoll met many years ago. And he said it actually was at a Thanksgiving dinner. He had been invited, and he meets this man, and this gentleman was just smiling and was just so energetic. And he said, my goodness, I shook this man's hand. And this is a man, when you shook his hand, you knew you were shaking somebody special, their hand. You knew that. The hand was hard. The skin was tough. And he said he knew that this was a man that worked with the land. And sure enough, that was the case. And he said to this gentleman, who was older than Chuck, he said, you look like a man who enjoys life. What do you do for a living? Well, this gentleman smiled. He said, me? I'm a farmer. I'm from the Midwest. I'm out here visiting. Well, Chuck said, really? The gentleman proceeds to tell him how he's got plans for traveling through California and doing all kinds of things. And Chuck, for some reason, asked him a very interesting question. He said, what did you do last week? The man said, oh, last week I finished harvesting 90,000 bushels of corn. He was grinning from ear to ear. Well, Chuck had never done anything like this in his life. He said, 90,000 bushels of corn? How old are you? And the gentleman said, oh, I'm just a couple of months shy of 90. And Chuck just shook his head. The fact the man was almost 90 years old, and he's taking care of 90,000 bushels of corn. Chuck said this man had lived through four wars, the Great Depression, 16 presidents, 90 Midwest winters. He said, when I thought about it, he said, who knows what his hardships were? And yet here he is at 90 years of age, actively engaged with life. He's got it right in his own hand. When he asked this man his next question, which was, what's the secret of your long and productive life? He came out with four words, hard work and integrity. Didn't pause for a minute. Hard work and integrity. Well, when the event was over, this gentleman was leaving, and he turned to Chuck, and he just winked at him. He said, don't take it easy, young fella. Stay at it. Think about those words. Don't take it easy, young fella. Stay at it. How many times are we told by someone, oh, my goodness, your grandmother who's 85 years old, oh, that poor thing, she just should take it easy. My word. This is a story that should inspire. Because when you lose purpose, then you're not going to go on with life. This man was proud of being a farmer, proud of working with his hands, and relished life. 90,000 bushels of corn. Do you think you could do that at 90? I think I could do that at 90. I'm not a farmer, but when I turn 90, I'm still going to be tap dancing. How about you? This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have the right to live life to its richest level. And that isn't all about money. It's about quality of life, love and friendship, and being the best you possibly can be, using your talents to make this world a better place. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. God bless. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.